This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Names in the business are on You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos.
Hey, this is Joe Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT, and I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet, with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself the kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports, brought to you by BetMGM.
The phenomenal Football Friday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos here with you on Westwood One Sports. Happy New Year to all the listeners and all the viewers. Great to have you with us here on Westwood One Sports in the year of our Lord, 2026. Keep on firing the comments in on YouTube and on Twitch. We will have a much bigger presence on those two platforms as we move into 2026. Call and text line coming soon as well. We very much look forward to that and appreciate everybody's patronage and sticking with us here on You Better You Bet here on the new time slot. Lots of great messages from a lot of fans, new and old. Appreciate all of you very, very much. First hour of the show dedicated entirely to the college football playoff quarterfinals. Told you why. Trinidad Chambliss, QB1. I think he might be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft if he decides to declare after his performance last night on Thursday night against Georgia, and why Pete Golding outcoached Kirby Smart as Ole Miss pulled the outright upset in an instant classic in the Sugar Bowl. Absolutely loved it as Georgia beats Ole Miss, Ole Miss beats Georgia 37-34 to advance to the semifinal. Compared Indiana and Kurt Cignetti to Walter White, Heisenberg in Breaking Bad, and how they've been able to turn this around in short order and turn into an absolute juggernaut, you know, minus the drug dealing and murder for Kurt Cignetti in Indiana. As Indiana embarrasses and emasculates Alabama, Indiana, you're betting favor right now to win the national championship in college football. What a time to be alive. Texas Tech, you wasted our time. And that is an unforgivable sin. You wasted our time. Great. You won the Big 12, and you won every game by 22 points or more. When you had to step up in class against a real team, you scored as many points as I did yesterday in the Orange Bowl. If you took the number of points that Texas Tech scored and you multiplied it by a million, you know what it would be? Zero. Pathetic from Texas Tech. Get out of my face, Red Raiders. And credit to Dan Lanning, Dante Moore in Oregon, advancing to the semis for a rematch against Kurt Cignetti, Fernando Mendoza, and Indiana. And look, I credited Miami to end the hour. Miami advancing to the semis. They are favored against Ole Miss coming up on Thursday night in the Fiesta Bowl. I still think Ohio State's the better team, and it doesn't matter. Then maybe it's sour grapes, and I'm crying over spilled milk. That could very well be true. And Miami won, and Miami was the better team. I can't believe that was the Ohio State effort that they put out there on Thursday night in the Cotton Bowl. That is, or on the days are so mixed up because of the midweek holiday on Wednesday night, I guess, on New Year's Eve in the Cotton Bowl. A terrible first half from Ohio State leading to the Buckeyes getting bounced. I told you to end the hour. Give me Ole Miss to beat Miami in advance of the national championship game, leaning towards Indiana to beat Oregon. Don't know how I want to bet that game as far as the spread is concerned. Former NFL and college football coach Dave Wanstead will join us in about a half hour to talk about what we saw in the college football playoff quarters and week 18 in the NFL and extending it out to the NFL postseason. And I'm going to give you my breakdown on all the big games in week 18, who I expect to win, who I expect to lose. And I have run all my opinions through the playoff predicting machine And I have my projected wild card weekend with all the point spreads for you. And there are domestic sports books that have these markets up. So I'm going to tell you what I think the most likely scenario is. Here are going to be the matchups on wild card weekend. So we, me also, and you, our listeners and viewers, so we can get a leg up, get early here on how we want to bet these games and think about these games next weekend in the NFL postseason. Yeah, like the games are going to be exciting coming up Saturday and Sunday. But Monday is a huge day on the NFL calendar as well. No, there is no Monday Night Football game on Monday. But Monday is going to be important because it is Black Monday in the National Football League. And there will be coaches that lose their jobs on Black Monday. And this exercise is not to, like, revel in human beings losing their jobs. And, like, families being, like, that's not what this is at all. It is an unfortunate part of life, period. And obviously the NFL. But it is what it is. This is a sports show. And we're going to frame things through the prism of team building. And should teams keep coaches? Should they move on? And what are they going to do moving forward? And I love having conversations like these. And I love thinking about this team building, right? Because it gives us a leg up on how we want to think about these teams heading into next season, right? Provided and depending on what they do coming up on Monday and early into next week. So I've compiled a bunch of teams here that I think at the very least could be making head coaching changes following the end of the regular season. And we could talk about the games that those teams will be playing in week 18 as well. So we'll start with the Bills and the Jets on Sunday in the final game at the Ralph, which I guess they call Highmark Stadium now. It will always be the Ralph to me. As Buffalo, a 6.5-point favorite in the game against Gangrene, total here is 38. Now, the Bills can technically still, like, help their playoff seeding. I don't even know if it matters. Like, they're probably going to play the Patriots, the Jaguars, or the AFC North winner. And honestly, with Baltimore being a favorite at Pittsburgh, we'll get to that game next hour. I kind of think you don't want to be the 5 seed and maybe have to play Baltimore in case the Ravens get on a roll. And I don't even know if Buffalo cares about winning this game. It certainly feels like right now, and we don't have word on this yet, that the Bills will be sitting some of their starters, potentially Josh Allen, chief among them, for this game against the New York Jets, with Buffalo only being a 6.5-point favorite. But this, for right now, is about the Jets, not about the Buffalo Bills. The Jets are 3-13. The Jets will be starting Brady Cook on Sunday. And Brady Cook, and this is not meant to be like a Brady Cook bash session, but look, he's not very good. By any metric, he might be like the worst starting quarterback in the NFL this season. So Brady Cook's not very good. I think the Bills could roll out, bring Trent Edwards back. And I think they could probably win this game. J.P. Lossman. Insert Bills. Can Frank Reich make the trip from Stanford? I think the Bills can win this game with a multitude of potential options at quarterback with Brady Cook starting for the Jets, which means the Jets are likely to finish 3-14 in Aaron Glenn's first season in charge. Now, earlier in the year, Aaron Glenn did get a big-time vote of confidence from Jets owner Woody Johnson, who threw at the time, if you remember, Woody Johnson threw starting quarterback Justin Fields under the bus. And Woody Johnson said, basically, if our quarterback could complete the forward pass, I'm paraphrasing, only slightly, then we would see how things would go. And he talks to Aaron Glenn every week and that he has confidence, etc. Things have been made a little bit more interesting by how the Jets season has ended here. Specifically, the way Sunday's game went at home against the New England Patriots. You better you bet on this Friday. Nick Costos here with you, Westwood One Sports, presented by BetMGM. And I just tell you this as someone who lives in New York and consumes a lot of New York sports content. And I have a lot of friends that root for the Jets, like diehard Jets fans, right? There was no one in that stadium on Sunday. And the Patriots laid it on them. I think it's good that the Jets lost the game and improved their draft positioning. But if you're the owner of the team, right, you're watching an empty stadium at the end of the year and your team getting booed out of the building against one of your rivals as the quarterback of that team kind of pads his MVP case and becomes the MVP front runner. Like, it's not a great look. And by any objective measure, Aaron Glenn has not done a great job this season. I don't know what you could point to and say Aaron Glenn's done well. And look, I didn't think the Jets were going to be good. I said it when they signed Justin Fields. Like, Justin Fields, he's terrible. He seems like a very nice young man, and I'm not saying like he could never be good, although I don't think he will be. I think like the book's out on him. He's a backup quarterback, and he got a deal to be the starter, and he's not good, and the Jets have no receivers, basically, especially once Garrett Wilson gets hurt. This was never going to go well, and I loved what they did at the trade deadline, getting that war chest of picks with the Sauce Gardner and the Quinnen Williams trade. And I do think, and I said this at the time, the Jets are big time set up for success in the future. But this is a conversation about what's going to happen next week. Is Aaron Glenn going to live to see the rest of this rebuild? I think the answer is yes. Now, I don't have to be right. Let's see how this goes. Do the Bills embarrass them with their backups? Who knows what's going to happen? 3-14. Glenn already fired his defensive coordinator, Steve Wilks. Does he survive? I think yes. I think Woody Johnson and the public commitment to Glenn earlier in the season, he's a former Jet. I think Aaron Glenn will get at least one more year. And candidly, look, it's been bad for Aaron Glenn. I do think he deserves another year. I think anyone, and it's easy to say this now, hindsight's 20/20, with the benefit of having the entire season been played. I think the people that looked at the Jets and were like, oh yeah, they could be decent this year. Like, really? Like, really? Like, come on. Come on. With Justin Fields and Tyrod Taylor and like Brady Cook, there's just no way. So I do think Aaron Glenn will be back. I actually think he should come back. And maybe he's not the guy. And maybe Darren Mooji, the GM and company, maybe they screw up all these picks. I actually think that the organization has been run very well this year, getting that war chest of picks where they can control whichever of the next two drafts they want. And for the Jets fans out there, did you watch Trinidad Chambliss last night? Did you watch Fernando Mendoza yesterday? Dante Moore yesterday? Did you watch Arch Manning on New Year's Eve? Or Jeremiah Smith on New Year's Eve? The Jets are going to have their chances to get whomever they want in the next two NFL drafts. I do think Aaron Glenn will return. We'll stay in the AFC East. As the New England Patriots, 10.5-point favorites against the Miami Dolphins, 45.5 the total in that game. And the Patriots are going to play this game to win because they could still get the one seed and home field advantage. Unlikely. I think the Broncos will beat the Chargers, who are starting Trey Lance Maker Dance. Lance Maker Dance. The Broncos will probably win, but the Patriots need to try and win just in case to get the one seed and home field advantage. Now, I've been telling you for a little bit now that I think Mike McDaniel's going to stay. That he will remain the head coach. We want him to stay. Shout out to Rihanna. That Mike McDaniel is going to remain the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. There were a couple of reports over the holidays, over the last couple days, that kind of had me question that thought process. And now I actually believe that McDaniel's going to be out at season's end. We first saw the rumor that McDaniel would be a candidate for the Browns head coaching job if the Browns fired Kevin Stefanski. And we'll get into Kevin Stefanski in a little bit. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, okay. And just so people know where stuff like that comes from, that's not the Browns giving that information out. That's like Mike McDaniel's camp is giving that. And I'm not insinuating they're making it up, just that I think that's Mike McDaniel and his agents and his team preparing for him to lose his job and maybe drum up interest in him for a new head coaching job. And then yesterday's bombshell, and I actually do think this qualifies as a bombshell, that the Dolphins will be retaining ESPN NFL analyst on Monday Night Football and Hall of Fame quarterback Troy Aikman to consult the team on its search for a new general manager. And if you'll remember, the Dolphins fired general manager Chris Greer following the Thursday night loss to the Baltimore Ravens earlier in the year. That tells me that Aikman's going to be consulting, that Mike McDaniel's gone. Because if Aikman's vetting the search, they're not going to hire a GM with the preconceived notion that you have to come in and work with McDaniel. They're hiring someone to be like the guy. Because you don't bring Aikman in otherwise. You bring in like a figurehead GM to work with the head coach. That's like how the NFL works. Mike McDaniel doesn't exactly strike me as a Troy Aikman guy. Troy Aikman's a boomer. Mike McDaniel's not. Just my opinion. I can be wrong. Just my opinion. My guess is, and I didn't think this last week, but these events that I've laid out have changed my mind. I think Mike McDaniel will be out as head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Speaking of Kevin Stefanski, his Browns, 7.5-point road dogs this weekend to Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Since he is 7.5-point home favorite, total 44.5. And I'll just give you a betting opinion on this game. I think Cincinnati's going to win by 20. Bengals have got it going on right now. Much like Stella, Joe Burrow's got his groove back in a big way. Much like Shawn Michaels back in the day, he's got his smile back. He had lost his smile, and now he's got it back. And he didn't have to fake an injury like Shawn Michaels did. He was actually hurt when he lost his smile. So Joe Burrow's feeling better, even though he is taking failed shots at the organization every chance he gets. Now, just to say this, Zach Taylor's going to come back. I think Zach Taylor's getting another year. Do I think he should as Bengals head coach? Absolutely not. I think he's a terrible head coach. And the fact that, like, Joe Burrow goes out and they can't win, like, look at what Kyle Shanahan did with a million guys out, including Brock Purdy. Not that Purdy's Joe Burrow, but, like, good coaches are able to sustain losses and still be able to win games. Zach Taylor's not a good coach. I don't think he should come back, but he's going to. So, I just to get that out of the way, I think Zach Taylor returns as Bengals head coach and they look to reload next year around Joe Burrow. I am starting to believe, though, that Kevin Stefanski is going to be out of a job. Because in the same way, you got reports that the Browns would be interested in Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel, that obviously means that there would be a head coaching vacancy in Cleveland. And I believe that the Browns have touched base with the Dolphins, with Mike McDaniel and his team already. Where else does that report come from? We also got a report from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler that the Giants, my favorite football team, would be an ideal fit for Kevin Stefanski. Again, where do you all think that's coming from, our listeners and viewers? And I'm not trying to talk down to you and make it like you don't get it. I think you do understand where that stuff is coming from. This is Kevin Stefanski and his agents, right, and the team around him, and I'm not talking the Browns, his management team, probably know he's on thin ice. I'm sure they know that. Like, the McDaniel report came out. I'm sure that's true. I'm sure that the Giants, and I have no doubt that the Giants have spoken to, I don't know that for a fact. I'm not reporting that. But where do you think this stuff comes from? So if this is out, right, then Stefanski probably knows that, at the very least, his seat's very hot. And maybe the Browns are looking to just turn the page on all of this. See what they do with Deshaun Watson. See what happens with Shador. Have the two first-round picks, obviously, theirs in Jacksonville's, and what they do at the quarterback position. If I had to guess right now, I believe that Kevin Stefanski will be out as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Just to get this on record, I am a New York Football Giants fan. My favorite team out of any of the teams I root for. And if you're new to the show, thank you very much. Follow me on all socials at the Costos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S. T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S, on Twitter and Instagram. I like the Giants, the Yankees, the Knicks, and the Rangers. Those are my four teams. The Giants have always been my favorite team since I was a little kid. Always, right? I can't tell you how excited I would be for the Giants to hire Kevin Stefanski. A two-time, shout out to Diamond Dallas Page, bang! Coach of the year. Not his fault he got saddled with Deshaun Watson, who can only operate out of a spread offense. It's not the offense that Stefanski wants to call. I think Stefanski's an awesome coach, and I think he is the perfect coach to come in and mentor Jackson Dart and take the Giants out of the sideshow role they've been in for the last decade and bring them back to some degree of prominence. Stefanski would be at the top of my wish list were he to become available to be the head coach of the New York Football Giants. And I do think if and when the Browns move on from Stefanski, it is a mistake from a football perspective, but given everything that's happened with Watson, I guess you kind of can't blame the organization if they just want a clean break. I think the Bengals are going to lay it on them. I'm laying the points with Cincinnati on Sunday against Cleveland. Zach Taylor comes back for the Bengals. I think the Browns will dismiss Kevin Stefanski after the game. On the other side, we will get to the other NFL coaching situations that I think you, our listeners and viewers, need to be monitoring. And the most interesting one is in Las Vegas with Pete Carroll and the Raiders. We'll get to the Raiders, the Cardinals, and more on the other side. You better you bet on a Friday here on Westwood One Sports.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And Banks will take it at about the 5 for the Giants. Finds a gap, has some room, being chased. He's being chased by Carson. He'll take it all the way. That is a touchdown. 95-yard kickoff return touchdown.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
Friends of the show, Kevin Harlan with the call. I'm so mad that happened. It's a Giants fan. Giants needed to lose that game, and of course they win. What a bunch of idiots. Hire Kevin Stefanski if Stefanski gets fired, and all will be forgiven if that happens. We'll see what the Giants end up doing at head coach. So, the Raiders, you know, that's the joke, the Raiders. We'll talk about Pete Carroll and his future in a second, but want to pay off this question from the YouTube chat from our friend Kevin Hilmers, who is a real one. He says, Nick, he's got Oregon, Ole Miss, and Miami. Great job by you, buddy. At double-digit futures numbers in the betting market, should he let the big numbers ride? Difficult to hedge. His only liability is the favorite. Kevin, I think you know what my answer is going to be to this question. I think you made awesome bets. If it were me, I'd let it ride. Like, Indiana is the best team, and I think Indiana's probably going to win, but you have the other three teams at great numbers. If it were me, that's what I would do, but it's your money, so ultimately you've got to make that decision if you'd like to hedge and try and win something. If Indiana wins, I personally would let it ride. I think Oregon could absolutely upset Indiana, and then if it is Trinidad Chambliss and Ole Miss in the national championship game, like, Mendoza's great, and Mendoza won the Heisman, I think Chambliss is the best quarterback on the field if Ole Miss does play Indiana in the national championship game. So if you're in the YouTube chat and the Twitch chat, keep firing in the comments. Interactivity is going to be way more of what we're going to do on this show moving forward. We will have a new YouTube channel coming up in the near future, a call line and a text line. The show's going to kick ass in the year of our Lord, 2026. All right. The Las Vegas Raiders. I cannot believe this point spread on Sunday. The Raiders are so... we'll do another joke. How bad are the Raiders? Bad enough that they're 5.5-point home underdogs to the zombie Kansas City Chiefs. Like, everyone on the team hurt. Grisolo to... I mean, what the hell? The Chiefs, 5.5-point road favorites, total 36.5. Pete Carroll should be fired just for that. Just for that, he should be fired. Now, Andy Reid already said, like, he's coming back next year as Chiefs head coach. And he has the right, I mean... won 3 Super Bowls. He's one of, objectively, and obviously, like, having Patrick Mahomes helps, he is one of the best coaches this century. And I know he started coaching the Eagles in 98. He's one of the best NFL head coaches of all time. He's a Hall of Famer. There's no question about it. And whether or not you think Mahomes won those, he's the most important, but it doesn't matter. Like, he's the coach when they won. He deserves to do whatever he wants. If he wants to leave, he can leave. And if he wants to come back, he comes back. That's it. So Andy Reid's going to be back next year as head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. As far as Pete Carroll goes, it's got to be it. Pete Carroll cannot come back. I've called him for years on this show, and look, he's a legendary coach. Won a Super Bowl with the Seahawks, national championships at USC. He's a legend, right? I'm not trying to disparage his career. I've called him the Carroll Soros for a long time. He's a boomer, right? He wants to play 1980s football in the 2020s. Like, the meteor's got to hit here, and we got to get rid of the dinosaurs. Like, we got to move on from the Mesozoic era into this century. That's how this has to go. Pete Carroll was hired by the Raiders, and it's a terrible hire, and I thought the Raiders were going to be bad this year, and I said it. Although I did think that he would at least have the team be respectable. How could you not think that, based on what he's done? They've been the opposite. They are not worthy of respect. They're a laughingstock. They're pathetic. And they're tanking. By sitting down Brock Bowers and a healthy Max Crosby. They are tanking. A Pete Carroll team is tanking. You can't have this. And it would be one thing if the Raiders with Geno Smith and Pete Carroll were competitive this year and you could say, okay, like, let's run it back next year and maybe they could make the playoffs. And Carroll can be a bridge into whatever the next era is. There is no bridge. Like, the thing got built and then, like, fell apart immediately. Like, the first person that tried to walk on it fell to, like, his watery death, unfortunately. It's over. It's done. You can't have a coach in his 70s now about to oversee a massive rebuild where the team is tanking for the number one pick in the draft where they will select a quarterback. You got to get a younger coach in. I'm not an ageist. I'm not. I just praised the Kyle Whittingham hire from Michigan. He's 66 years old. It's not an age thing. But Carroll's, if we've reached the point here where Pete Carroll should not be the one overseeing this rebuild with a rookie quarterback, when all he wants to do is boomer ball, run the football. That's not what this needs to be. Imagine, like, Trinidad Chambliss is going to run the Pete Carroll offense here. Fernando Mendoza is going to run the Pete Carroll offense. Like, that's it. So, Pete, like, here's your Rolex. He'll go to the Hall of Fame, and he deserves to go to the Hall of Fame one day. Just like, you cannot bring him back. They have to dismiss Pete. Tom Brady's got to do the right thing here. I think he did the right thing this weekend. Spotted with Alex Earle. I don't know who she was, but now I'm familiar. Not bad from Tom Brady. Hey, Tom. Got to get a new head coach in here in Pete Carroll. Have a YouTube comment. How can Vegas and Brady move forward with Pete Carroll? There's no future. They won't. They're going to fire him. I don't know who the Raiders are going to hire, but whoever it is going to be better than Pete Carroll. I'll give you a minute here on the Arizona Cardinals, who don't really register nationally, but, you know, I think they're going to fire their coach. This season has been a calamity for Gannon, for Jonathan Gannon in Arizona. And it's unfortunate in one sense, right? Because they've had a million injuries. You don't have Kyler, and, like, Kyler's not the future quarterback for the team, no matter who the coach is. Walter Nolan's barely played, but he's been on the field, he's been great. The secondary's been ravaged by injuries. They've lost their top three running backs. Marvin Harrison's been in and out of the lineup. Offensive linemen have been hurt. Yes, they've been hit by the injury bug very hard. You can't let go of the rope like this and get embarrassed in every game and end the season potentially here on a 9-game losing streak at 3-14 in year 3. I feel bad to a degree for Jonathan Gannon because I feel like the deck that he got dealt this year was not a good one, but you got to do better. You have to. Like, it's a results-oriented league. It's year 3. You're one of the worst teams in the league. That's it. Is it possible he comes back? Yeah. And could he win next year if they're healthier? Definitely. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. But what do I think's going to happen? I think he's gone. And I think that's the right move for Arizona. So this will be like Michael Bidwell, Cardinals owner. He's got the arrows of light and the hook shot. Fire one right at Calamity Gannon. See you later, buddy. Tears of the Kingdom, coming courtesy of Jonathan Gannon, Monty Ossenford, who sounds like a Zelda villain, and the Arizona Cardinals. I do expect them to move on from Jonathan Gannon and Monty Ossenford, the general manager. On the other side, we will be joined by former NFL and college football head coach Dave Wanstead. And we will talk to Wani about the Chicago Bears and whether or not he thinks they could beat the Packers if they play for a third time on Wild Card Weekend. I do think that'll be the matchup. And we'll get Coach's opinion on his Miami Hurricanes in the semifinals of the college football playoff. Former NFL and college football head coach Dave Wanstead joins me, Nick Costos, and you next here, You Better You Bet, on Westwood One Sports.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
2 yards for a first down. 10 yards for a touchdown. Beck throws. Left side, Fletcher. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown! Miami! Carson Beck to Mark Fletcher. 12 yards and Miami strikes first.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew. Presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Westwood One Sports, courtesy of the call on that highlight as Miami on New Year's Eve beats Ohio State 24-14 to advance to the semifinal. They are favored against Ole Miss coming up next Thursday night in the Fiesta Bowl. The coach, Dave Wannstedt, will join us in just a second, but we got to briefly tell you about our show sponsor, BetMGM, because BetMGM players will receive an NBA Odds Boost token. To use the token, add a wager made up of NBA bets to your bet slip and activate that token. If you win your wager that was made with the aforementioned token, you'll receive extra winnings and unrestricted bonus dollars. Download the BetMGM app, visit BetMGM.com. I will give you a couple NBA bets that I like for tonight at the end of the show. But before that, the coach, Dave Wannstedt. 670, The Score in Chicago, Big Ten Network, NBC Sports Chicago, one of the nicest guys out there. Also, by the way, Super Bowl champion and national champion at the collegiate level as well with the Miami Hurricanes back in the day. Coach, Happy New Year. Thank you for joining me. Nick Costos here. You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
Hey, Nick, it's good to be back with you a little bit. Hey, congrats on the new deal you got, their new show and stuff, man. That's awesome. You do a great job, and happy for you. Really am. You'll be fantastic.
Yeah, the check is in the mail. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
What did you eat, Coach, on New Year's Eve?
Oh man, what did I have on New Year's Eve? You know what? I was home here by myself. Okay. I went to Naples for 2 days. The kids were down there. Then I had to get back for some work here. So I was in town. And you know what? Now that you, it was nothing. I might have had leftovers, to be quite honest with you.
No,
I
think nachos? I was just, you didn't have the nachos stacked up like usual?
You know what? I did have some chips and salsa to warm up the day. But that might have been at 2 o'clock, Nick. By the time we got to the evening, I was... My wife's in Naples, so you know how it goes. I was scrounging through there, and whatever was left over, I was eating. I did have me a little Terry Bradshaw bourbon, though. I did have one of those.
Good for you. I had about 6 or 7 Surfsides. It was a wild night for young dad Nick Costos. That type of thing normally does not happen. So, Coach, I'd like to run through some of the big stories from the college football playoff quarters, and then we'll turn our attention to the NFL for a little bit here. Let's start with the Miami Hurricanes, and I said something last hour, and I think it's true. I think I'm kind of discounting Miami a little bit. Now, Miami was the better team, and Miami deserved to win. I feel like if they played again, Ohio State would beat them. I thought Ohio State with a terrible start to the game and got it going in the second half and a little too late. Do you think that's unfair for me? Am I not crediting Mario Cristobal, who I know you know, in Miami? Am I not crediting them? And what did you make of Miami's performance on New Year's Eve beating Ohio State?
Well, you can be a little bit critical from past history with Mario Cristobal, but you cannot be critical about that talent. I mean, it's Miami is the most talented team in the playoffs from a standpoint of just raw talent and experience, in my opinion. And it was that way when the playoffs started. You know, I mean, again, they flopped around and lost a couple games during the season they shouldn't have, Nick. But let me tell you something. I mean, they could have 2 of the first 10 players taken on the beat. They got those 2 defensive linemen are going to be first rounders. They got probably that right tackle. They say arguably is going to be a first round offensive lineman drafted. The running backs that they, I mean, this team is really talented. That's what Mario does. He was Saban's recruiting coordinator everywhere he's been. The recruiting has been his real deal over the coaching part of it. And it shows up. I mean, now on Ohio State standpoint, I got to defend them a little bit because I know them real well from doing TV for the Big Ten every week. I mean, their offensive line, they don't have a senior note offensive line. People lose sight of the players that they graduated last year, Nick. I mean, they got a – I'm looking here now. They got a sophomore, freshman, and two juniors in that offensive line. Their starting quarterbacks are freshmen. Ohio State's starting running back is Bo Jackson is a freshman. They are a young football team. So it did not surprise me. I disagree with you. I think Miami's the best team in the playoffs left, the most talented. Most talented team left in the playoffs.
I did say also like last hour that I think the way Ohio State played against Indiana should have been a pretty clear signal on how this was going to go, at least in terms of the Miami defensive line being able to pressure Julian Sain, which obviously they did. And we are expecting Reuben Bain to be a top pick coming up in the NFL draft. Like, Miami is stacked with talent. And Coach, you said that you think Miami's the best team left standing, so it begs a follow-up question. Do you think Miami's going to win the national championship? And the next game's against Ole Miss, and I'm guessing you think they're going to beat Ole Miss. Ole Miss quarterbacks Trinidad Chambliss was unbelievable last night in the upset against Georgia. So do you think Miami's going to win? And if the answer is yes, and you think they're going to beat Ole Miss, how do they defend Trinidad Chambliss with how he looked last night when Ole Miss beat Georgia?
I want to make sure I'm clear on this. I said Miami is the most talented team.
Fair enough.
I think the best team is Indiana. And Indiana is the best team, in my opinion. Miami's the most talented. Miami, I think, beats Ole Miss in the next round. You know, the quarterback, you got to give him credit. Because I went back, I didn't know much about him. And I did some research when he was in Ferris State up there in Michigan. And this year, I think he's thrown 19 touchdowns and only maybe 6 interceptions, completing about 66% of his passes. So my point is that the numbers that he's had during the season at Ole Miss support what he did last night. And the biggest thing is going to be contained. I don't know. I mean, Georgia let receivers get behind them for big plays. I mean, I think they had 4 big plays over 20 yards, 2 of them for touchdowns. That should not ever happen. And the second thing, Georgia did not do a very good job of containing him. And his athletic ability should not have been a surprise to anybody. And when you face a quarterback like that, the first thing you talk about with your defensive lineman and your whole defense is, who is responsible for containing? We got to make this guy throw the ball on time. And that didn't happen either. So just a real collapse, in my opinion, on defense from Georgia's standpoint.
You better you bet on this Friday, Westwood One Sports. Nick Costos here with you. Our guest, Coach Dave Wannstedt on Twitter, at Coach Wannstedt, former NFL and college football head coach here on January 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2026. Happy New Year to all of our listeners and viewers and to the coach. Coach, just curious, you've watched Fernando Mendoza, and obviously you work for the Big Ten Network, so you've seen a lot of Fernando Mendoza this year. You watched Trinidad Chambliss last night. I talk on the radio and I talk on television for a living. I'm not like grinding the film. I'm not someone who's like watching all the college tape. I watched Trinidad Chambliss last night, though, and I'm thinking this guy looks like he could be the number one overall pick in the draft. Just from what you saw last night, do you think Chambliss has the type of pro upside that Fernando Mendoza has? And we don't know if Chambliss will declare how that's going to go, but do you see that type of pro upside in Chambliss that I'm guessing you see in Fernando Mendoza?
Well, I think you put Chambliss in the category with Moore, the kid from Oregon. And both those guys may have more upside, okay, than Fernando. But let me say this. If you are an NFL team that you can afford to have your quarterback, I think, sit and learn. I think both those guys would help themselves by coming back. Moore at Oregon and obviously Chambliss at Ole Miss. But the way it is in the NFL, one and done, they want to win now. You take Fernando and you could fax him. Okay. If they still do fax, and you could fax him the playbook on his way to your facility, and he would know the playbook. He's going to be ready to go and win, help you win day one in the NFL. I think he's advanced. He's so smart. He's so mature. He's better athlete than what you think. I said that same thing about Drake May when he came out of North Carolina. I said, this kid is a better athlete than what you people are giving him credit for. He might not be as good an athlete as Drake May, but he's the same type of guy. That's kind of how I see this thing. He is more tomorrow ready to help a team win. If you're going to build and you can afford to let him sit, then take one of the other guys that you might hit on a more of an upside.
Love it. And if we have time, I'd love to spin that into the National Football League and a question about Black Monday here as it concerns Fernando Mendoza. But just, Coach, to wrap up the college football conversation, Indiana, Oregon next Friday night, I think that's the national championship game. And the winner of that game will win the national championship. Indiana, about a 3.5 or a 4-point favorite in that game. So betting market expects the Hoosiers to win. And Indiana is the betting favorite to win the national championship. Miami, a 2.5 or a 3-point favorite against Ole Miss next Thursday night. Who do you think wins next week in the semis? Who do you think ultimately wins the national championship?
I'm gonna go with Miami, and I'm gonna stay with Indiana. There's points in that. I mean, that's Indiana was getting 7 points, 7.5 points the first time they played. And for our listeners, they played them out in Oregon during the regular season, the Big Ten, and obviously Indiana won. Now Indiana, I think it's, would you say 4 points, 4.5? They're
3.5, 4. Yep.
3.5. Yeah, that's a big swing in my mind. 10, 11 points. But I do think that Indiana is more of a mature team. Both these teams are extremely well coached. Both these coaching staffs have assistants that have been with the head coach for years, so they all are on the same page. I like that about it. I just think that Indiana is a little bit more battle-tested. You look at the games that they had a win in the fourth quarter at Oregon, at Iowa, maybe Penn State. I don't have the list in front of me, but they have come from behind and they have closed out games and made plays, offense, defense, special teams when they had to. I give the edge to Indiana, and I'm taking Miami just because they're a more talented team, and it's going to be real big challenge at Ole Miss to mentally get their football team emotionally ready to go play at the same level they did against Georgia on a short amount of time. In other words, these are young college kids. Can you imagine the scene and the pat on the backs that they're getting down there on campus? I can't. And how are they going to keep their heads together? You got the coaching staff, the running back coach, tight end coach, offensive line coach, and coordinator scheduled to go to LSU. And the college football portal starts today or tomorrow, this week. How the heck are these guys going to be doing game plans for somebody you don't know in Miami? Recruiting, it's a mess. It's a damn shame for these kids. It really is at Ole Miss.
And just like how messed up college football is, like Miami has players that like entered the portal. They're in the semifinals in college football. That will be a story, obviously, yep, as we head towards that game next week. Coach, final one. Actually, the college stuff has been so good. We have about 90 seconds for this one. If Indiana wins the national, even if Indiana doesn't win the national championship, but if they do, I mean, you have won championships at the highest level. If Indiana wins the title in year two for Kurt Cignetti, how do you put into perspective what he will have accomplished in just 2 years at a doormat program that hasn't won anything in my entire lifetime or even sniffed it at Indiana? How will you put into perspective what Kurt Cignetti has done? 90 seconds.
Well, I know his dad recruited me. I know the Cignetti family well. His brother, Frank, was my offensive coordinator at Pitt. So I think what Kurt said after the game is the only way to put it in perspective. It'd make a great movie. But Google him and look what he did at Elon. Look what he did at George Madison. Within a year or two, the guy was in championship games. This is not new. This script is not new for Kirk Cignetti and how he's handled things. And most of his coaches His two coordinators have been with him for that whole ride.
Is he the best college football coach of all time? And I know that Saban's and other coaches have won more, like Jimmy, obviously, who you were with at Miami. Is he like the best coach ever if they win the national championship? 10 seconds for the answer.
Oh, I like him. I'm not going to say he's the best. He's one of the best. Build a statue for him in Bloomington, Indiana. There you go. He'll have a statue. What's that mean? Does that mean anything, Nick? I don't know nowadays.
I guess maybe I need to have a cat statue in Times Square if they win the national championship at Indiana. Coach, you're the best. We look forward to doing this throughout the NFL playoffs. I hope that we're cool to do that. I love having you. Happy New Year, my friend.
All right, same to you, Nick. Bye-bye.
Coach Wanstead joining us here on You Better, You Bet. Like, Coach has worked with some great coaches. I don't know how you don't say Cignetti's the best if they win the title. And there are some great ones. Final hour, power hour coming up on the other side. All my bets for tonight in the world of sports, and we will preview all the big games in Week 18 in the National Football League, starting with the Bucs and the Panthers coming up tomorrow.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.